Hey! Yeah, you, listening. I know, you're here for a podcast, right? But let's be honest. You want to go buy some new toys. Yeah, you do. You just got paid. You got money burning a hole through your pocket. And you want to add some new toys to your toy shelves. Hey, I don't blame you, man. I know exactly the feeling. And you know where I go when I want to add something new to my collection? Well, that's NerdRageToys.com. Why do I go to NerdRageToys.com? Man, let me tell you all about it. NerdRageToys.com has an amazing selection of both vintage and new action figures that you could be buying right now to add to your collection. Are you looking forward to new stuff coming out? Stuff from Batman Arkham Origins video game? Yeah, that's right, NerdRageToys has those on pre-order right now. How about the new SH Figuarts Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the Black Ranger, the Blue Ranger, the Yellow Ranger? Or maybe you want a new Legacy Dragonzord to add to your collection. All of those, as well as many other toys, including Marvel Universe, Marvel Legends, Voltron, tons of great stuff, are available for pre-order right now over at Nerd Rage Toys. But it's not just the new stuff that they carry. Oh no. They have an amazing selection of vintage toys as well. Man, they've got stuff from Silverhawks. You guys remember Silverhawks? How about Toxic Crusaders? I loved the Toxic Crusaders line. What about some of the classic Toy Biz X-Men figures? Or Masters of the Universe? Or Mask? Or Ghostbusters? All of that stuff is available right now over at NerdRageToys.com. So, while you're listening to this podcast, why not do a little bit of internet shopping as well? Just head on over to www.NerdRageToys.com or click the link in the description for this podcast. That's NerdRageToys.com.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geek-Easy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Geek-Easy. Get yourself all cozied up in a booth, grab yourself a drink, and get ready for a geek-tastic conversation. I am your host, Pixel Dan, and as always, I am joined by my good friend, Jonathan Leonard. What's going on, John?
Good as always, or good as usual, or I don't know, I'm having a good night.
You're having a good night.
Let's roll with it.
Let's roll with it. Well, we have another special guest on this particular episode, somebody who I thought would be perfect to bring on for our discussion today, and also somebody who we seem to bring up every so often, so we might as well just introduce everybody.
You bring him up all the time.
I do. I love this guy.
Because we're tag partners.
That's right. That's
they
right.
Are.
He's my tag team partner and my other best friend. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Jaron McCaffrey. What's up, Jaron?
What's up?
We are going to talk wrestling today, and we all love wrestling. The three of us, John and I have talked about this all the time, that's sort of the thing that kind of brought us together to be friends in the first place was wrestling. And the three of us here, myself, John, and Jaron, are the guys who always get together and usually watch wrestling together. We have wrestling discussions over email all week long. And we just got done watching the 2014 Royal Rumble.
We are that cool.
We are that amazing. And so since we just got done watching the Royal Rumble, I thought we might as well sit down in a room together in front of a microphone and talk like we always do about wrestling, but for the benefit of everybody else who's not us.
You're welcome. So,
so that they can hear how we talk about wrestling. But before we get into that, I wanted to go ahead and talk about a few items of movie news. Just because the last 2 weeks since the last time we recorded, there's been like all kinds of crazy geek movie news.
Some good, some bad, and 25 covers of Empire we'll get to pretty soon here.
Yeah, right? How weird is that? And I know that everybody's going to want our opinion on this, but we're going to kind of keep this short. I think next time we get together to record, we're going to dedicate an entire episode to movie news again.
Yeah.
Just because there's been so much to talk about.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
So let's go ahead and just start with this one, because this made me laugh, and I know it made you laugh. Batman vs. Superman has been pushed back to 2016.
It's still making me laugh.
If you've been listening to us at all, you know that John and I have both been very cynical of this production.
I don't even know what to say about Warner sometimes, man. They just, every week it's like a new brand new news bit, and every week they get more surprised that people don't seem to care.
Yeah.
Like, they report it and it's out there, but like, it's like, well, where's all the excitement over this? Well,
that some people saw Man of Steel.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Jaren feels the same way we do about Man of Steel. We'll just go and get that out of the way now.
Yeah. or any DC movie. Outside of the first couple of Batman movies that Nolan did, granted, that's always the go-to for everybody. It's like, oh, DC's great at movies. They did those two Batmans. It's like, no. DC stumbled into a couple of awesome movies. Yeah, that's fine, but man, look at the rest of their track record coming out recently. The best movie they've done probably ever has been Watchmen, and that's the one nobody talks about hardly at all. Outside of that, Green Lantern was a joke. That last Superman was subpar. There's just, they've got all this, you know, all these fireworks around all these projects, and then they come out and they just seem to fizzle right away. And that third Batman was a joke, man. Like, that took all the arguing power away from the people who were still stuck on the first two Batman movies.
I agree. So, it says here that according to the studio, this will give the filmmakers time to realize fully their vision, given the complex visual nature of the story. The decision was made following the shift of the start of production to second quarter of this year. So, I mean, that's just the kind of the typical studio, you know, explanation for any time something's delayed. I still remember, like, when G.I. Joe was delayed for a full year. They were like, oh, it's because we're converting it to 3D. And all those other reports were coming in about how they did a bunch of reshoots, and they tried to completely, like, gloss over that.
Yeah.
It was like, not reshoots, 3D. It's very important that this movie's in 3D. And we're like, no, we're not dumb, you know? We know that it tested poorly with audiences. We know that you asked Channing Tatum to come back in, and you filmed a whole bunch of new scenes. And I feel like something similar must be going on here.
Well, and what I think is funny, too, is they talk about wanting to fulfill the complex visual nature of the movie. That first movie filmed and was editing for between 2 and 3 years. It took forever to get Man of Steel done because, like we talked about before, I did extra work on that movie, and that was in September of 2011, and it didn't finally come out, or 2010, I think, and the movie itself didn't even end up coming out until...
Wow, it was that long?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was 11. Either way, it was a good 2 years before the movie came out, and that was towards the end of shooting. It took forever to actually put that movie together. So, being that it took that long to put Man of Steel together, were they thinking that their follow-up was going to be a smaller, more intimate film? That was going to be a lot easier to edit somehow?
I have no idea. Maybe they just got a little too ambitious, and they were just like, hey, guys, Batman and Superman, aren't you excited? They're in the same movie.
And they're trying to push up
get it out really quick.
They're trying to push up their time frames on everything. The one thing I will say in reference, and I was thinking about the G.I. Joe thing right before you said it, too, at least with G.I. Joe, they had the movie in the can ready to come out and then pushed it back right before it came out.
That's true.
For seemingly no reason. That was definitely a terrible sign. At least with Man of Steel, they haven't actually done anything yet,
right.
Or with Batman versus Superman. So if it really is a problem of, well, we know it's terrible and we have to fix it, at least they're at the beginning stages where they really can do something about it.
That's true. I guess that's the positive we have to look at with
that,
absolutely. But very quick after that announcement, they didn't skip a beat. Marvel announced that Ant-Man is going to be now bumped up to take the release date that Batman and Superman originally had. So July 17, 2015 is now the release date for Marvel's Ant-Man.
Uh-huh. Which is only a 2 week move up.
But so still, they're just like, damn, we'll take it.
Well, and the funny thing too is, and this is what I love about it, is this is, I think, I don't know who officially threw the gauntlet down. I guess technically DC did, but I'm pretty sure they're probably going to regret it. Because when they moved Batman vs. Superman to 2016, they moved it to that first May weekend,
which
Marvel already has lined up for an unannounced project. But Marvel's got several release dates lined up for the next couple of years, and Marvel has owned the first weekend of May, the official opening of the summer movie season, for years now. Either Marvel Studios or one of the Marvel projects outside, you know, like Amazing Spider-Man, I think, had it last year.
Okay.
And I believe they have it again this year. Well, 2 years ago and then this year.
May's usually like a big
month, too, for movies, right? Because that's like the start of the summer.
Yeah, movie season. The first weekend of May is the official start of the summer movie season. So Marvel already had one locked up. They hadn't announced what the movie was. All of a sudden, Batman versus Superman is like, well, we're going to release ours that day. And so I'm pretty sure Marvel just went, oh, really? All right. And I think that's probably why they moved Ant-Man, because Warner still had something to fill that slot when they moved a Peter Pan movie that they were that they're doing into that 2015 slot where Batman and Superman used to be. So I think Marvel just went, well, we're going to have Ant-Man crush your Peter Pan movie, and then we'll just figure out whatever we have to release to crush Batman versus Superman, and maybe you guys will get it one of these days.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's actually going to bring me to a couple rumors, and this is really funny. I just think it's so weird how this movie, Batman vs. Superman, has had so much weird discussion online and so many rumors and so many supposed news stories. After the announcement that the movie had been delayed, all of a sudden I started seeing people talk about this like it was truth, first of all, which you always have to be careful and check your sources. But apparently, it's possible that Affleck is considering dropping out as Batman in these movies. And I guess the reason for it is because he's, I don't know, it's really weird. Am I even the right one here? I'm looking at my news stories. I think I checked on the wrong
one. Well, you never, because the first, when they first decided they were pushing it back, one of the first rumors was that Ben Affleck had hurt his leg.
Okay.
And then he hadn't hurt his leg. They wanted to do more editing. And then now they don't, you know, they need to do more editing. And Ben Affleck doesn't know if he's going to stick with it and whatever. And I don't know if I believe that stuff or not. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be shocked if anybody were to walk away from a project that just got delayed by a year, especially somebody as high profile as Affleck. However, I'm also, you know, I'll believe it when I actually see it, not when the internet decides that it happened.
Yeah, I think it was like some journalist from, I want to say it's like a Mexican journalist or something like that. I don't even remember. I think it's like some news outlet in Mexico or something. She had like tweeted out, and it's a Spanish tweet, but the translation of the tweet said something like, I just got word that Affleck has dropped out as Batman. The negative response was too much, and he's not going to do it anymore, and now they're starting to look at new people to cast. And then it says something like, get ready to expect Warner Brothers to announce that Affleck, it came to, you know, differences of understanding or whatever with the director or whatever. And then a bunch of other news outlets immediately just came out and said, don't listen to her, she's wrong. She's lying, you know? So it's like, but it was enough to kind of get a stir going, and people were like, oh, Affleck's not going to be Batman anymore. Like, I saw a bunch of that on Twitter last week, and I was just like, what? No, that can't be right.
Yeah, so, I'll chalk it up to rumor until I hear more.
That officially has not been confirmed by the studio. That's rumor. And then the other rumor going around is that even though they supposedly delayed the release date, they're apparently still going directly into production immediately on this movie. And I guess, like, because Affleck was supposed to be directing a new drama for TV called The Middleman, and that was supposed to be getting in the way of his filming of Batman versus Superman, but apparently now he has put that project on hold, and he's not going to be going and directing this because he's been called out directly to start filming immediately for Batman versus Superman, so now there's question on if the release date's actually going to get bumped back to 2015. Nothing's been confirmed by the studio.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing's been confirmed by the studio. Yeah. So this is another rumor.
And you never can tell. I don't think that they're ready for production based on the simple fact that I remember right before they announced it had been delayed, I saw Ben Affleck at the Golden Globes, and I think we even mentioned something like it on the last show. He did not look like he was Batman ready at the Golden Globes. He just looked, I mean, not chubby, but not, you know, he didn't look like he had been working out two or three times a day to get ready to play Batman.
Yeah.
And shooting was supposed to start in like 2 weeks. And I remember commenting on that when we saw him. And then 4 days later or 2 days later or whatever, the movie had been pushed back an entire year. So I was like, oh, okay, well, he's probably not on the regiment yet then. He probably knew before we did, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So there we go. Lots of crazy stuff going on with Batman versus Superman. Last thing I want to bring up, and I'm sure we're going to discuss this in much more detail coming up here. Empire Magazine has released 25 variant covers of their newest issue, with each cover giving you a look at a different character from X-Men Days of Future Past. Among the covers, we've actually got some pretty cool pictures there.
Yeah, the Colossus is neat.
Colossus is cool. We got Bishop. Lots of stuff going on. But I think the ones that really stood out to both of us, and we talked about these. Let me see if I can find them here. We got our first look at Fox's version of Quicksilver. Now, remember, Quicksilver is going to be appearing both in Fox's X-Men Days of Future Past and is also going to be showing up in Avengers 2, right?
Yes.
So Marvel Studios is doing their version of Quicksilver, and Fox is doing their own version of Quicksilver. So we get to see Fox's Quicksilver for the first time. And I've got to say...
Yeah, is that 80s German techno club guy? What is that?
Right? You know? So he's got silver hair, and he's kind of got, like, you know, the hair hanging in front of his face.
Yeah, it's very fast.
Yeah, he's got weird goggles on. He's got this shiny silver jacket. I don't know. Yeah. It's like...
I'm hoping that part of the reason that looks so terrible is just the poor crop image they did there, and
the running
they
effect.
They tried to do the running effect, and it looks awful. But it looks ridiculous. Yeah, I can't get past the fact that also that just looks awful.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it'll make sense in whatever future he comes from or something. But yeah, no, not good. Some of these pictures are pretty good on these covers, and some of them are. Not really good or bad, because you can't really tell what's going on. Like, they've got a future Sentinel, and it looks like a ghost Sentinel
something.
Well,
I like the past Sentinel, because, I mean, it looks Sentinel-ish. Yeah. You can tell it's a Sentinel. And then they're like, we're going to reveal what future Sentinel looks like, and then you've got this thing, and you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
That's,
like I said,
I guess it's a Sentinel?
It looks like a shadow monster. I didn't know it was a Sentinel until I saw the title of it there.
I think those both look terrible.
You don't like past Sentinel either?
You don't like past Sentinel?
Really? Well, at least it's like purple and I don't know.
I mean, it came up and I was like, oh, it kind of looks like a bad version of RoboCop. And then you're like, I like the past Sentinel, okay. And then you switched it. And I was like, oh, what? That's a Sentinel?
Yeah, that's the past one. And then the future one looks like the Shadow Man.
Yeah, I don't like either one.
I like how
Is
they
that
also.
Ron Burgundy?
No.
Yeah. Wolverine, you know, he looks like Wolverine.
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to bring up. I'm like, hey, they got past Wolverine. Hey, it's Hugh Jackman. And future Wolverine. Hey, it's Hugh Jackman. It's just two different pictures of Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
My favorite...
Beast. Looks pretty cool.
I say sarcastically, I guess, I guess my favorite sarcastically is Quicksilver. Man, it's just awful. But they got a Rogue cover. I'm pretty sure she got cut from the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I had read a couple weeks ago, Anna Paquin had only had, like, one scene, and it was a pretty pivotal scene, they thought, but when they finally started cutting it together, it just didn't work, so they had to cut it. And I remember Bryan Singer talking about how disappointed he was, because he really liked the scene, and he just couldn't make it in there, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, she's got an Empire cover for a movie she's not in.
So they're just like, sorry about your luck, Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
You're not important to the X-Men movies
You just
anymore.
Got James Marsden did.
Is that Shadowcat there?
Yeah.
I'm glad she's in it. Well, I'm still excited about the movie, you know? For sure. I'm excited. I hope it's good. I really liked the last two offerings from the X-Men films quite a bit, so I'm hoping that this one is really good.
A movie I'm this excited about, I'm not going to let a couple of Industry Mag cover photos ruin for me. But I do hate Quicksilver in that picture. That's all there is to it.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up what we're talking about as far as movie news this week. But like I said, next time on the podcast, we'll devote an entire episode just to talking about all the crazy geek movie stuff that's going on. Right now, I want to switch topics to the 2014 Royal Rumble. It was quite, I guess we can use the word controversial. I will definitely say a lot of chatter about the 2014 Royal Rumble. I mean, the internet just blew up after this event, and it was really funny to kind of witness it and just see the things that people were saying. So this
I wish
is
I would have caught more of that.
It's going to be a cool discussion for sure. Well, it's just funny watching like all of the other some of the legends, like the WWE legends, or just like past wrestlers, and just how like they were mad and saying silly things. Like,
what were they saying?
Mick Foley broke his TV and filmed himself breaking his TV. Remember?
Yeah, but Mick Foley's an attention monger.
Yeah,
and was going to do that no matter how the Royal Rumble
ended.
I guess
Stone Cold's doing a podcast dedicated to the whole Daniel Bryan incident, and like a bunch of those guys are all just like talking about it.
Should
it's crazy.
Should we talk about what actually happened and then?
I don't know. Where do you guys want to start? You want to go ahead? Do you want to start? Yeah, you want to start running down the matches here first?
And yeah, let's just do that. We'll kind of save our post stuff for after.
All right. So, three matches kicked off the Royal Rumble event before we got into the actual Royal Rumble match. Match number one was Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt. So, first of all, let's kind of talk about that little storyline a little bit. We had this incident, like, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
At most.
Daniel Bryan joined the Wyatt family.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
3 weeks ago, right? And it was one of those things that you kind of, because Daniel Bryan has been just riding this crazy popularity train for a while. It's been building and building, and it's just been unreal. Just watching the way the people support this guy. And then he gave in, and he did that whole, you know, you can't beat him, join him kind of thing. And he joined the Wyatt family. And it was one of those things where I didn't really know what to think about it personally, because I was just like, I don't know if this is WWE just getting mad at his reaction, so they're like, well, you know, screw it, we're going to turn him heel, take that, everybody. Or if, you know, their plan was to keep things interesting. And honestly, I mean, it was definitely a good move to keep things interesting, because you wanted to know what the heck was going to happen.
Yeah.
You wanted to know how it was going to play out. At least I did. Everybody was talking about Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatt family after that episode of Raw, you know.
It all happened so just kind of quick out of nowhere. And that's the thing. I don't know how many of our listeners actually watch wrestling all that avidly. So Daniel Bryan is this, he several years ago, he was a big name indie guy. He got a shot at the WWE like a lot of people do. And oftentimes they just come in and fizzle out, or they come in and the WWE doesn't treat them like gods like the indie circuit does. And then they fizzle out or whatever else, you know. But he's one of those guys who stuck around and he went through some stuff, and you kind of just assume he's going to be in the middle of the card forever and just kind of, you know, eventually fade away. But he's a talented guy. He's got some charisma, so he'll stick around and all that stuff. Well, for whatever reason, like you said, over the last couple of years, the crowd has just been building and building and building.
No, it's not for whatever reason. it's because Daniel Bryan decided he was going to be a superstar.
Dude, yeah.
And he decided that he was going to work harder than everybody else on that show, and he was going to have performance of the night every time he was out there.
Absolutely.
And I remember, I watched it happen. I don't miss Raw, but I watched him start to turn it up, and every week he turned it up and he got more intense, or he got more energetic, or he kept going when some of the other guys just would have settled into their, you know, their five move routine and coasted, you know, and he made himself a superstar.
Absolutely. He is a self-made fan favorite. He built that stuff himself, and it's ridiculous because there's always those guys that the crowd decides that they're going to get behind for a little while because it's the fun thing to do.
Right.
Zack Ryder, Fandango,
yep.
Guys like that. You know, they're like, we're going to start cheering this guy because he's funny and he's got an internet show and he's not on TV a bunch. So we're going to cheer him a lot until they start putting him on TV, and then we're going to change our mind about him. Yep. That's, you know, that's what happens a lot.
Yep.
Daniel Bryan is not that guy. Daniel Bryan just decided, like Jaren said, that he is going to be the guy. And he made it happen for himself. He worked harder than everybody else. He had amazing matches.
Yeah.
He's talented all around. He's not a guy who can just go out there and wrestle. He had fun, you know, he was good at being on the mic. He was fun at being on camera. Mm-hmm. All that stuff he did with Kane.
Yeah.
He took a situation where they're like, let's make a random tag team out of two guys like they do every now and then. And they turned that into the best thing on Raw every week.
For
like,
months.
Who would have thought?
And that was the thing I was about to bring up, too, is like, no matter what situation they put him in, he pushed it forward like that, because that was exactly it. You know, getting shoehorned with Kane was not death by any means to what you were working on, but he was running some pretty big matches, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's in anger management therapy classes with Kane.
Yeah.
Which means, all right, the WWE has sort of forgotten you're there.
It just means they don't really take you seriously.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like, you'll always be around, and you'll, you know,
they don't mind
you being around, but
they're
they don't care.
Happy that you're there.
Yeah, they're not looking for you to show up every night, you know. And like you said, Dan, what did he do? He turned around and made that the best thing on Raw for I don't know how long. And I missed a good portion of the
credit
rise.
Credit where credit's due. Kane did that, too.
Yeah. Kane's been awesome for a while.
Kane has been
while.
Awesome. Yeah.
Kane's awesome what he's doing now, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I remember during that rise when Daniel Bryan was being so awesome and getting so many people behind him, and I missed wrestling for a good portion of that. But I remember you guys, I was still being a part of the conversation, and you guys were, you know, play-by-playing that. Like, Jaren, I remember you bringing that up, going, like, look, that guy is going out there every night and making the show his, no matter what they want him to do. And that's kind of where he is. And then enter the Wyatts, which is this creepy redneck family who wear these weird llama masks or whatever.
Llama masks.
You know,
masks.
And they come out.
Wasn't
like,
that just in a movie?
You're thinking of The Pledge.
No, You're Next.
Oh, no, yeah, You're Next. You're next. That's what it was. Yeah.
I mean,
The Purge, they had those weird, like, happy masks or whatever they were. But
I didn't see
as I said, they're like cerebral rednecks, I guess. They come across like Deliverance style hillbillies, but they play mind games with everybody. And they were doing that with Daniel Bryan, and they kept, you know, triple teaming him and beating him down. So finally he decided, all right, well, I want to join the family. And so they did that to where he was part of the family for a couple of weeks. And I really think they intended to do that for a while, because the WWE is in one of those phases. Usually they're in pretty decent control of what they're doing. Like, they know their business, and they make missteps, and we you know, gripe as fans all the time about this and that, but they know what they're doing.
Right.
And I don't think they really know what Daniel Bryan is yet, or at least don't want to admit it. And so they started doing this semi-heel thing with him, and the crowd just wasn't having none of it the entire time.
No.
The whole time he's with the Wyatts, they're just like, nope, we're doing our yes, yes, yes chants, and we want Daniel Bryan, and we don't care about anything else, whether he's in the ring or not. So they cut it short after about 2 weeks, and had him turn on Bray Wyatt, and then led right into this SummerSlam, or this SummerSlam, this Royal Rumble match, which was shockingly long and very good.
You know, I'm still going back to that real quick about him joining and leaving the Wyatts. I'm still trying to figure out if that was their intention to only make it a 2 week thing, or if that really is what happened, that the fans just weren't having it and they were like, all right, we got to scrap this whole thing.
You know, I think it was probably their intention. Like, looking back, when it happened, I was kind of like, I think this seems like they called an audible halfway through and went ahead and cut it short, but. I do think it was probably their plan, and it was their way, because, I mean, the whole thing culminated in Daniel Bryan getting Bray Wyatt alone in a cage where his cohorts couldn't get in and help because Daniel Bryan was on his team. And otherwise, there would have been no way to really bring that feud to fruition, you know, or bring that moment to fruition. I mean, there's just... Not without involving anybody else, and that just would have, you know, confounded the storyline itself. So, I kind of think that they had that in mind all along.
Yeah. I was wondering, when he first joined, like, I was trying to think of all the different scenarios, and I was like, well, maybe this is his way of, like, getting himself to a better, you know, a better chance of winning the Royal Rumble. Because I could see him, like, sticking with the Wyatts all the way till the Rumble came. And then if he's in the Rumble match, he uses the Wyatts to kind of help him eliminate guys. And then when the moment's right, you dump him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he goes, you know, something like that. I was thinking stuff like that. So when that night happened, and they're in that cage, and, like, it starts breaking down, and you're just going, no way. Like, already? It's only been 2 weeks, and then that turn happened, and he just, you know, he took off the jumpsuit and had his gear on, and then there was that amazing shot, like we already talked about it, where he's on top of the cage, and they do that camera panning shot, and that entire arena is just yesing, and you're just like...
Yeah, it felt like you could feel the energy coming through your TV.
It was exciting as heck, man. Like, you just wanted to, like, jump up off your couch and start cheering with everybody. It was amazing.
I heard a funny rumor, well, not rumor, just a theory, I guess, behind kind of how some of that went down, too, in storyline. One of our other friends we were watching the Royal Rumble with, James, was saying, I don't remember if he thought of this or if it was an idea he had heard of, but he was saying how, like, you know, Kane's been doing this whole thing with the Authority, but he hasn't really done anything, like, particularly heelish. You know, he's done some stuff with CM Punk, but that's more because CM Punk keeps getting in his face than anything else. And they were saying, you know, when he set that match up, he's the one who set that match up with the Wyatts and versus the Usos, and he's the one who decided they'd be locked inside there, and he's the one who had the key and the only key. And so he's saying, you know, like, well, what if he's still with Daniel Bryan? What if they're still... You know,
that'd be
like,
crazy.
Yeah, he's like a Daniel Bryan mole inside the Authority, you know. And you have theories like that all the time, and they're always neat, and they never come to fruition,
that's
a fun one.
That's almost too deep,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like, you always want to think of, like, all the ways things could be intertwined, but sometimes you got to give the wrestling crowd credit sometimes. Like, not all the wrestling fans would be able to put all that together. You know what I mean? That's a little too much sometimes.
He did it for The Rock.
He did it for The Rock.
Oh, man.
So that brings us to Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt at the Royal Rumble. So they announced that match, and I remember when they announced it on Raw, I was kind of like, oh, I think that means Bryan's not in the Rumble. That's a little bit of a letdown. And the only reason I considered it a letdown is because I felt without him in the Rumble was too predictable. I felt like I knew immediately that Batista was going to win that Rumble just because there was nobody else in there who I thought was going to win except maybe CM Punk, but I was pretty sure he wasn't going to win.
Right.
And I thought having Brian in the Rumble would have been a wild card, because then, oh, maybe they'll let him win. So when they announced him with that match, I was kind of like, ah, well, that sucks, because now we know who's going to win the Rumble for sure. But this match was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. And it's just another one of those things, too. Like, regardless of the fact that they don't have Daniel Bryan in the top slot, they sure do put a lot of faith in this guy,
mm-hmm.
because he is... week after week, the guy who gets, like, two matches on Raw,
yeah.
you know, two long matches on Raw. He gets these long matches on the pay-per-views, and he always performs. And we haven't got to see a lot out of Bray Wyatt until this match either, and so he was incredibly impressive in this match, I thought. I mean, he held his own against Bryan just fine, and they had a very entertaining match. And Bray Wyatt ended up going over, which I'm fine with.
Went over clean,
it
too.
Went over clean, and it's cool because it kind of gives Bray that rub. Like, if they're planning to put him up against somebody like Cena, he needed the victory, I feel like. You know what I mean? He needed to have a strong showing against somebody like Daniel Bryan to kind of, you know, solidify the fact that he's a threat.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that I liked him going over. I was surprised because of, you know, how big Bryan is and how they're like, seems like they're pushing him, and then they're sort of not pushing him, and then they sort of are pushing him. But it's one of those things where... especially after he did that thing with the cage, it's like, man, they've got to see how big this guy is, and they've got to give him something, and then he just jobbed out clean to Bray Wyatt, which, again, totally fine with, made sense, great match, didn't take anything away from Daniel Bryan at all. It just surprised me.
So, and the other thing, too, when it ended, I was like, well, maybe now that Bryan lost, maybe that will give us a chance to see him in the Rumble later on. And I think the entire arena felt that way.
Win or lose, I thought, just with them opening the card, I went, all right, well, he'll be in it then. Because he's got plenty of time. He'll be in it.
Yeah.
So, that match ends. It was awesome. Next match, Brock Lesnar versus Big Show. I wasn't really that excited to see this. I just, Big Show, I don't know. I don't hate Big Show, but I don't get excited to see Big Show.
That's funny, because I was just thinking, I wasn't really exciting to see this, because, Brock Lesnar.
I know, and that's, John doesn't like Brock Lesnar at all.
Well, I didn't know what to expect from this match, and I think it's really weird. What threw me off about this match was they acted like Brock Lesnar and the Big Show had never wrestled before, and they had like a whole storyline back in 2005, I think. And you know, and like the WWE is doing that right now, and it weirds me out. Like,
they rewrite history a little bit.
No, they're just like, they don't acknowledge it,
just ignore history,
you know. Yeah, they all these matches that have happened before. I mean, the John Cena Randy Orton, you know, they acted like that was this. Oh my gosh, who's gonna, you know, what's gonna happen? He attacked his dad. How is that? Well, they did that exact same thing in 2000. I don't know. Now I'm gonna say 2005, but I think it must have been 2007.
Yeah.
When they did that. But they did that the whole exact storyline where Randy Orton grabbed Cena's dad and pulled him out of the crowd and kicked him in the head and sent him to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then they had their feud, you know.
Oh, he was doing that head kick thing back then.
That was the punt.
Right.
That was the punt.
He did the punt. And then this match comes along, and they have the big TLC match to determine who's the greatest champion ever, and then now they're following it with a regular match.
At Royal Rumble over his dad.
Right.
Or whatever.
That just threw me off with the whole Brock Lesnar Big Show thing. Like, they've done this before.
Yeah.
You know, and to act like all of a sudden, oh, Brock Lesnar's never met a man like the Big Show. Yeah, he has. In fact, he's met the Big Show.
And Brock Lesnar has just been absolutely nuts, too. Like, everything we've seen him do, he's just been crazy on this most recent run. Because, like our friend Justin says, it's like he goes out there and tries to kill himself every time he's out there in the ring now. Because he just keeps doing all this crazy stuff. Like, we 2 weeks ago on Raw, when Big Show gave him that weird toss across the ring, and he just, like, landed on the top of his head for no reason. Oh my gosh, dude. So you just didn't know.
I don't think he knows any better.
That's just how he does. That's how he works now.
Brock Land, Brock Head.
Yeah, that's how he works now. He just goes out there and he doesn't wrestle. He just fights, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, God bless Paul Heyman.
On the Brock Lesnar DVD.
Sounds awful.
I'll watch everything. Triple H, Ric Flair, and Kurt Angle all say the same thing about Brock Lesnar, and that he doesn't know his own strength. And watching him perform, I think he just kind of flings himself.
Yeah.
You know, I think he still hasn't learned, like, how to control his own strength. And because a lot of it looks like he's just kind of flung himself, or he's overbalanced, or can't stop his momentum. And so I think that has a lot to do
with it. He was flinging chairs around a Raw this week that I thought were going into the crowd for sure. I was like, he's going to kill somebody. Like, he just doesn't even know what he's doing right now.
Raw and on the Rumble. That's all he did. He spent 20 minutes beating the Big Show with a chair.
Right, right. So this match wasn't even a match, because before the bell even rang, Heyman tosses Brock Lesnar a chair, and he just starts wailing on Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
Just beating the crap out of him with a chair. And that just goes on for like good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the ref separates them finally. Big Show gets to his feet, and they ring the bell to start the match. And this was the best part, because then the bell rings and Lesnar goes tearing at Big Show, and Big Show just knockout punches him right there. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. That's amazing. Like, he took that beat down and then he gets a knockout punch. But instead, Big Show was still hurt, so he fell over after the knockout punch.
If that would have been the end of the match, it might have been my favorite match on the card.
And then we just went right into more beatdown. Like, seriously, that's all they did. They just had Lesnar destroy Big Show with a chair.
Well, Lesnar woke up and picked him up and F5'd him.
That's right.
And then that was the end. And then there was 10 more minutes of
chair shots. And, like, he's bending chairs and breaking chairs. And, dude, there's that part where he's got Big Show outside of the ring up by the barricade, and he's whipping the chair back so hard that I thought he was going to clock everybody in the front row, you know, like on the backswing while he was coming down to Big Show. God, dude, he's so reckless. It's insane just watching him. You never know what that dude's going to do. So that was, I don't know, that was something, I guess.
It was at least surprising and different. You know, they didn't go out there and have the match they had in 2005.
Well, you know, and I will say, like, I don't like Lesnar at all. And I like the Big Show fine, but I'm not generally excited about his stuff. But for a match I was semi-dreading, I was entertained enough. I don't know if entertained is exactly the right word, but that knockout punch made me laugh for a good minute and a half.
And it looked so real, too. That was
Oh, yeah. He jacked him in the face.
It's like Big Show.
And that's hilarious.
He just got hit a whole bunch of times for real, probably, with that chair. He knew he was going to have to get a whole bunch more times in that chair, so he's like, I'm just going to let Brock have it right now.
Yep, I get one, so it counts.
I'm gonna get one,
you know, and that in and of itself was enough to make me entertained by it. So like I said, at least it was something different and, you know, fit well for its purpose. And it took a long time, but whatever.
So that's gonna bring us to the John Cena versus Randy Orton match for the WWE World Championship, which we just talked
which
about.
Which is another one of those storylines where they're like, "Oh, we're gonna finally decide the one true champion." You've done that before, guys.
We've never seen anything like this, you know, you have,
exactly. Specifically, you have seen this,
right?
You know, just with the Jericho won it.
And he carried around both belts.
Yep,
and
they kept them together until H came back and wanted a belt.
Yep.
Yeah, and then H
and then they split them back apart.
Until H came back and wanted a belt. Yep, so Randy Orton's undisputed champ right now. He's walking around with two belts. How long do you think they're going to do the two belt thing?
Until Orton loses it.
And then the next guy will get...
Yeah, because it loses its... I mean, the first guy who is the first ever undisputed champion, he's, you know, it matters for him to carry two belts. But when somebody beats him, they just win the championship. And so then they'll hold it up one night and come out on Raw, and they'll do a...
You think they'll create a brand new belt again?
The Batista belt.
They just made that one.
Maybe it'll be a belt with Drax the Destroyer on it.
Oh, my God.
I have a feeling that they'll retire the WCW
the big
title.
The big gold.
They'll retire
that one.
Nah.
Yeah,
you know,
never been
a fan of that one.
They'll probably do some big retirement ceremony and retire that belt, have Ric Flair come out and cry on it, and, you know, whatever else.
Ask to be buried with it.
Can I have this?
Not when he dies, right now.
Woo!
You guys are burying this right. I want to go too.
Booker T will come out and be like, "You remember that time I had it, sucker?" Everybody will be like, "No."
And that's when they bring in Sting. those sting rumors.
But then I think they'll use that one that's the one
they made for
the one
Rock.
With the big WWE on it.
Yeah. That would make sense. So John Cena versus Randy Orton for the 52nd time,
right?
Basically, is what we've got.
Good match, though.
Still solid, yeah.
It was a decent solid match, but the crowd didn't care at all.
Yeah,
and
even a little
and
bit.
That really just made this feel so strange.
Yeah.
It was just weird because you couldn't pay attention to anything that was happening in the ring because you were way too focused on what the crowd was saying and what they were doing.
Yeah. And it wasn't the usual, you know, John Cena's matches always have that split, especially on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
They've got that split and they cheer for his opponent and they cheer for him and they do the let's go Cena sucks and all that stuff. And it wasn't even that. It was just Daniel Bryan match chance and, you know, this is awful chance and
you can't wrestle chance. We want divas chance, which is ridiculous. Oh my God. Who would have thought?
That's the insult.
If I ever got a we want divas chant while I was out there wrestling,
would you just
I'd retire.
Yeah, I'd take my boots
off right there and I'd go home.
Dude, every time like they would go for any other signature stuff, the place would boo harder than they've ever booed, and it was just
I'd moon the crowd.
Dude, that crowd just wasn't having it. They were just like, "Nope, we don't care. No. We don't care at all. We don't want to watch this match." It was ridiculous.
Yep.
I've never seen anything like it.
Cool end though.
I guess the last time I saw anything like it was Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Oh wow. Wow.
That was the same kind of reaction they got. Steve Austin was the special guest referee,
and everybody was booing and then cheering Steve Austin, and that was the ref was getting so much love, and both participants were, and they were mad.
Well, that was one of my favorite moments because they're cheering, or they were singing na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye.
Yeah.
And Goldberg jumped up and started trying to lead the chant against Lesnar.
Yeah.
And as soon as he started trying to lead the chant against him, it died, and they start chanting Austin. And, I mean, it just...
Sometimes guys get what they deserve.
Yeah,
man.
Because they both got stunned right after that.
Yeah.
And I want to...
After 20 minutes of the best match Goldberg ever had in his life.
Which was not good. I will say I want to give those two... I don't know if egomaniacs is the right word because Brock Lesnar's too insane to realize he's there, I think. But these two guys, I will give them the smallest bit of credit as two guys that I do not like. At least they took their stunners like men to end their careers and then took off. And then that had one of my favorite moments, which has nothing to do with anything, but Austin holding up his hand, reaching for that beer, and somebody tossing one going right through his hand
and smacking him
right in the face.
Oh, my God.
A full unopened beer can.
That was
the cherry on top of that debacle of a match.
Yeah, but you'll never see that again. That was edited out.
Yeah,
of the
I know
DVD.
That stinks. That's the worst. But hey, I'll always have it up here.
Yeah.
They can't edit it out of there yet.
So Randy Orton ends up retaining because the Wyatt family comes out. Yeah.
Creepy cerebral rednecks.
They distract Cena. Randy Orton steals the win with an RKO, and then they proceed to attack Cena after the match, which I assume is setting up their feud with Cena for Mania, which has been rumored for a while that they're Bray Wyatt Cena, and I didn't know whether to believe that or not, but then it happened on Rumble, so I assume that's the direction they're headed.
Well, I didn't believe it because I kept hearing that it was going to be the title match, and I knew that wasn't going to happen.
No,
they're not going to do Bray Wyatt versus John Cena for the championship.
No, not as a headliner for Mania. I can't see that. Not right now. I can't see that happening.
I mean, Wyatt's not there, and that's just that's not a title match yet.
Yeah,
not a Mania main event. No, it's not a Mania main event.
But I'm super juiced.
I'm excited for that.
I think
that's going to be fun.
I mean, John Cena has never had an opponent or a story, angle, feud, anything like what the Wyatts bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
for sure.
I think it'll revitalize him because he's a stellar performer. John Cena doesn't get a lot of credit for what he can do and can be because he's more or less he's been doing the exact same thing.
He's stale with a lot of people, and I think that's the biggest part of his heat. But there's no denying that dude can work.
Oh yeah, and loves to.
And you know, he's good. He's awesome. But I'm excited because it is something different. It's right. something mm-hmm. we haven't seen with Cena yet. It'll be something new for him to do at WrestleMania, and I'm really excited to see where that storyline goes.
Yep.
So that's going to bring us to the Royal Rumble, and before we get to that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, quick commercial break, and we'll be right back to go over everything that happened in the Rumble and the Raw following it. So stay with us.
Buy these things.
Buy these things.
Are you tired of buying from unreliable sellers on those big online auction sites? How about scouring the internet for that one figure you need, only to find it for 3 times the retail price? If you are, then stop by NerdRageToys.com. We specialize in new and vintage toys and collectibles. We have hundreds of items from popular lines like G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, Thundercats, He-Man, Ghostbusters, and more. Our items are priced to sell and ready to ship. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay current on all of our site news and updates. Nerd Rage Toys. Stuff for nerds.
Alright guys, welcome back. It's time to talk about the Royal Rumble match. Woo! Johnny doesn't know what to do with his hands.
No idea.
All right, so we already knew going into the Royal Rumble that the number one entrant would be CM Punk, as set up on the Raw previous, right? Didn't they do something where... what was the setup for that again?
They just declared it that the Authority hates him, and they declared him number one.
Kane did it.
That's right. Kane made him the number one entrance.
He even said something about everybody's picked at random except for you. You're number one.
But that worked out well because you're always like, it's always exciting to see the guys who can like, you know, do the Iron Man thing and last a long time. And you knew that CM Punk could be one of those guys.
Right.
So it was like, oh, that's awesome. CM Punk was number one.
I
never thought, like what we talked about earlier, I already was pretty sure he wasn't going to win.
That,
but I was looking forward to seeing him go all along, the way to
coast to coast.
Yeah,
and that was what I thought was funny, is like you pointed out, there were very few people who had a shot at winning this thing. So you knew Batista was probably going to win. If Daniel Bryan shows up, he's got a legitimate shot at it.
Yeah.
The only other person I could think of was... CM Punk doing the one to whenever, because he's the only other guy in the whole Rumble who I went. They could kind of throw him into that title picture out of nowhere if they wanted to. The crowd would still get behind him. And it's the only, like, the only way to make it really surprising would be to do the one to, you know. So I'm like, it's like a 3% chance, but everybody else has like a 0% chance.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. That was how I felt. Like, there was nobody else really in the mix from what we knew or that I could possibly think of that I was like, yeah, definitely WrestleMania main event. Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, but I maintain that that's always been the norm.
It does happen. I mean, a lot with the Rumble.
You know, it was different when we were younger fans, and it was.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon said anybody could win this Rumble. We went, wow, anybody? But you know, it had Hogan in it, and I mean, really, like Earthquake's not going to win when Hogan's in it.
When did they start doing the thing where it was for a Mania title shot?
I believe the year Hogan needed to win it to face Macho Man.
Okay, so that would be before 6?
Before 5.
Before 5.
Because, no, gosh, it would have been after that, because for 6, the Ultimate Challenge, they started with, or did Warrior win the Rumble? Gosh, I just remember Hogan, no, it had to be, because Hogan and... Warrior were in the Rumble together. That was their the first time you kind of got to see, uh-oh, what if these two guys went at it?
Oh.
So, it would have been...
So, summarize. So, they've been doing it this way for close to 25 years, either
for a while.
It's been a long time.
For a while. Maybe it was Yokozuna. I know they did it when Yokozuna won for 9. So, that would have been the first year, because in 92, right before 8, was the year Ric Flair won it, and it was for the championship that year. And then for 9, Yokozuna won it and faced Bret Hart for the first time.
Okay.
At WrestleMania 9.
Okay, so 21 years they've been doing it this way.
And really, I mean, part of the fun with the Royal Rumble is always the surprise of who's coming out next. You know, you always get excited to see who's coming out, and you always get excited to see, like, which random guys that are going to just show up for just the Rumble.
Right.
You know, you like seeing the old school guys or even guys making their debut. Yep. You know, that happens sometimes at the Rumble. It happened this year with the Rumble.
With NXT Man?
NXT Man. Seth Rollins was number two, which was a cool thing. Got to start with CM Punk and a member of the Shield.
Yeah, because they've been having a big feud going along. So,
and so then you know it's kind of just like we got Damian Sandow, we get Cody Rhodes, Kane comes in at number five, which was kind of funny because he comes walking in as corporate Kane,
yep.
Just starts stripping off his suit as he's walking down the aisle, which was hilarious.
Wrestled in slacks and no shirt, and he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, we noticed that while we're watching. He's in like great shape right now. It's crazy.
Well, Kane's known on the road as the guy that you check that knows where the gym is in every town.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you don't, I've heard other people talk about like if you go into a town and you don't know where the gym is, you go ask Kane and he sets you up.
Wow, that's crazy.
And he knows which ones are good to go to and which ones will let you in free or which ones will only charge $5 for the day.
Yeah,
he's, like that's his thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So number six is John's favorite, Alexander Rusev, who is NXT man, is what we were calling him. I was unfamiliar with him because I don't watch a lot of NXT, unfortunately.
Never heard of him.
But I guess he's been a pretty big deal in NXT. Or people like there were people who are genuinely excited to see him in the Royal Rumble because they like him in NXT. Yeah. And I think this was his official move up to the main roster.
I don't know because you remember they did this last year with Bo Rotundo. And he never came up.
Oh, that's
roster.
Right. That's
he
right.
Had one match. He eliminated Wade Barrett and had one match with Wade Barrett on Raw, and then we haven't heard from him since.
That's right. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with this guy. He's got a good look. I mean, he's a bigger guy.
Oh, he's got a different look.
He's got a different look. Okay. You don't like
he's really big and barrel-chested, but he's smooth. I'm surprised that, like...
He wrestles barefoot.
You know, he does wrestle barefoot.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of those... I don't follow NXT as much as I would like to because they make it really hard to follow that show. But he looked like one of those guys, like another Kozlov.
He's like a
Sambo guy or what, you know, like one of those weird martial arts specialists.
Right, yeah.
And he'll do a lot of judo throws and stuff, but...
He gave us our fun Kofi Kingston spot for the year. You know, that's just kind of been Kofi Kingston's thing for the last several years. Is what kind of crazy way can I not get eliminated this year? And they did a silly thing this time where Kofi got thrown out, and Rusev caught him, and like just set him down on the barricade and started punching him, and then the referees kicked Rusev out, and then. Kofi did this amazing jump from the barricades all the way to the ring.
Yeah, it was like 11 or 12 feet they were saying on Raw.
That's
like
crazy.
That. Yeah.
I don't know.
I like Kofi. I think that is a fun gag, so I'm not going to sit here and complain about it. I wished anything he would have missed. Because watching him just crossbody the side of the ring and fall over looking like an idiot would have been... I would still be laughing right now. But he made it. Good for him.
I was expecting him to just lose his footing and slip off that barricade.
Yeah, I was going to say, for the record, I was way more impressed that he was able to run along, and it's padded now.
Yeah.
He was able to run along that padded barricade, and more so than I was impressed with the jump.
Yeah.
The jump, I was like, me.
Yeah, he does that sort of thing, right? Number nine was John's favorite, Jimmy Uso.
Why are they all my favorites?
Well, I guess I should put in the context that we did something different this year, which we've never done before. We actually bet on the Royal Rumble. And the way we did
it... Which isn't as dumb as it sounds.
Yeah, the way we did it, it made it really fun and really exciting. We all put $5 in a pot, and then we were randomly assigned numbers for the entrance. We drew them, so we had like six numbers apiece, and those were our guys. And if our guy... One of our numbers won the Rumble, we got the pot. And it just so happens that two of John's numbers were both of the Usos, which we just thought was really funny.
Made me very happy.
I had 6, 9, 11, 12, and then like...
So you got NXT Man.
Yeah, I had NXT Man.
Jimmy Uso.
Jimmy Uso, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, I don't even remember who
my fifth one
was. And then, 23. And 23 was the only one where I was like, man, somebody could come out at 23 who's kind of big and maybe make it to the end. And then it was my last number. It ended up being the second Uso.
Well,
thanks to being jinxed by friend over here.
That was the best part is Jaren called it. Yeah. He's like, I hope you get the other Uso. And then the countdown and the music. And we all laughed hard.
It was amazing.
So I'm trying to think of like any other big surprises or anything.
Nash.
Nash. Yeah. But Nash. Nash
I mean, hasn't he been in the last like three of them? Is he a surprise?
No, he was. He was in one.
That was a couple years ago.
He was in one a few years ago. He came out as Diesel. He came out as Diesel. And then, because remember, we were all mad last year because Nash wasn't in it. There were no surprises in it last year.
Okay.
Nothing cool happened. None. So I was excited. This year he came out as Nash and they played the
NWO
theme. And it was, he didn't do anything, but he looked good.
He did look good.
He did look good, yeah.
He had dyed his hair because I don't know if you've seen him without that. He's steel gray.
Yeah.
He looks like Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. yeah. He did look really good, though, like better than I've seen him. Yeah. Better than the last time he showed up on TV.
He was in shape. His legs looked like they worked.
He wasn't screaming like a maniac holding one of them.
No. One time you blow a quad stepping over a guy and nobody lets you forget it.
I was hoping for Jake the Snake.
Yeah, a lot of people were, I think. So there was no show on Jake the Snake. Yeah, there was really no more mystery guys after that.
El Torito.
Oh, well, if you want to count El Torito, that
wasn't there? Sheamus. Sheamus came back.
Yeah, Sheamus was a surprise return. That's right.
I'll call JBL a surprise entrant, even though he also did nothing.
He did less than...
But it made me excited.
Less than Nash.
JBL was nothing more than another elimination for Roman Reigns.
Whatever. Made me
happy. But it was
funny.
Made
me happy on both counts, because I like Roman Reigns.
His music hit, he got it from the announcer table in, like, Jerry Lawler style.
Right,
like,
which was the King's thing for a long time.
Yeah, he got it from the announcer table, got in the ring, took off his jacket, and then got thrown out.
Right.
Which was the exact same kind of thing King used to always do. Yeah. I still remember the Rumble where he got up from the table, got in the ring, and Bret Hart gave him an uppercut, and he flipped over the top rope and got eliminated, you know?
They got back on the
and just started talking.
What was that? What just happened? Yeah. Who just got eliminated?
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, so yeah, Sheamus came back, and that was one I think we all knew that was coming. Like, it was about time for Sheamus to come back. He's been gone for a while. I think he
feels like he's been gone a year or
forever.
More.
Well, I think he had like a broken leg or something, like tore
TLC.
Something
was.
Leg.
They said on Raw he's been gone since July.
Yeah, it was TLC, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Could have been.
Whatever.
Well, no,
I think it was a TLC
match. It wouldn't have been TLC.
Well, no,
TLC
just
was,
happened.
Yeah, that was the last pay-per-view.
Was it? Oh, Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's when it would have been. So he's back. He actually got a pretty decent
ovation,
too. Like, he came out, and the crowd was happy to see him, so that was kind of nice. I like Sheamus fine.
Yeah, I like Sheamus.
I don't love Sheamus. I love the Sheamus kick. I get happy every time I see that happen, so.
I like Sheamus. Sheamus is great with the right guys.
Yeah.
Sheamus is great with guys he can fight and that'll fight him back. Like, oh man, he had great matches with, who's the old guy? I didn't narrow it down. I know.
The old guy.
Finlay.
Oh, Finlay. Yeah, Finlay.
Because, you know, Finlay knew how to put a match together so it looked like a fight, and that's what Sheamus excels at.
Yes.
You know, he had some really good matches too with Goldust. Before Goldust left, but
Goldust, man, how awesome is Goldust right now?
They
just throwing that out there.
Goldust.
He inadvertently eliminated his brother.
That's right. They did that whole thing. I think they did that just so that they had it in case they wanted to do something with it. You know what I mean? Because they've done that thing for the last couple years where Goldust has been petitioning to wrestle Cody at WrestleMania.
Right.
And then Goldust came back at last year's Rumble. See, there was a surprise last year. Goldust was the one surprise last year.
Really?
Because he wasn't back with the company yet, I don't think. He came out at the Rumble and looked awesome.
I don't remember that.
Because I marked hard when he came out, remember? I got super excited. Goldust came out, he looked awesome, and then I think did something on Raw, and he basically got himself signed because he was in such good shape. And was working so good. And then he's had, like, the best run of his entire career this past year. It's been ridiculous. Man.
I've never been a fan of Goldust. I wasn't a fan of Dustin Rhodes. I wasn't a fan of Dustin Runnels. I wasn't a fan of Goldust. I hated the artist formerly known as Goldust.
I forgot when he did that.
I totally forgot.
But I...
He's nowhere near as funny as the artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea. For the record.
But he has been... I mean, he's back and he's better than he's ever been. And it's unbelievable.
Should I point out, and this is way off subject, but I don't want to forget again, we sort of forgot how this show began. Because we started talking about that.
I totally forgot about the pre-show.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan match started off, but the pre-show match was the New Age Outlaws winning the tag team championship from
Goldust and Cody Rhodes.
Goldust and Cody Rhodes.
In a really good match. It was a really fun, really entertaining match. And I couldn't believe it, dude. The New Age Outlaws won, and I couldn't help but cheer for that. It's just one of those things where you're just like, yeah, the New Age Outlaws.
I love the New Age Outlaws. Yeah. They've always been. I would... perchance to say my favorite tag team of all time.
They are my favorite tag team. Always have. I was, God,
like
such,
fifth on my list,
I was
probably.
Such a mark for
that's
them.
That's still
though.
Pretty high, I guess.
Love, I love that.
If it makes it in your top five, that's...
Yeah.
So, it was one of those things, too. Like, they lost the tag titles, and then, like we said, Goldust accidentally eliminated Cody by punching him on mistake, and he spilled over the top rope. And I definitely feel like they set that in place in case that's the direction they wanted to go with it.
Yeah.
But... I don't think that they're going to.
I don't think they're going to, and I think it'd be a mistake for them to go that way. I mean, you know, I know Goldust has been petitioning to wrestle Cody Rhodes at Mania. I think he'd get what he wants to wrestle with Cody Rhodes at Mania.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, that's where they should, that's where I think they should go, and that's what I want to see. I don't care to see Cody Rhodes, I'll stop caring about Cody Rhodes and Goldust when they wrestle each other.
That's true. Yeah, give those guys a good... you know, solid tag team title match at Mania against somebody. Let them just go at it. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
The tag team wrestling has just been really good in WWE this past year here. It's been awesome.
Right. But that's one of Triple H's things.
Yeah.
When he sort of became more prominent, he was very vocal early on about thinking that the tag team title should matter and really wanting to work with putting together a good tag division. And it's taken them probably 3 years to really get there, but they're there now.
It's now.
Yeah. It's awesome.
It's been great. And, you know, it's funny because it's not even like the regular tag matches. Like, even like all the six-man stuff they've been doing and everything has all been exciting and entertaining. It's been amazing.
Yeah, the work's just been better.
That's been awesome.
Well, it was a McMahon thing. Another one of those McMahon that he decided that tag team wrestling was dead and fans just wouldn't care about it anymore. And he stopped featuring it, whether it was six-mans or... eight-mans or you know anything else, he just stopped featuring it because he wasn't interested in it anymore.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure he had some basis for. I'm not questioning that decision. I'm just saying, you know, as wrestlers, if you think the fans aren't into something, it's because you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, so JBL came in. We talked about that. The other two members of the Wyatt family both came out at some point, we had that. So Eric Rowan was out there, Harper was out there. Ryback came out and Rybacked all over the place.
He just Rybacked everywhere.
Man.
Curtis Axel Ryback. Wasn't in it though, was he?
No. Or Axel's, I don't know, man.
Axel's not what they wanted him to be. Nobody cares.
I don't think Ryback is either.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They kind of, I don't know. I feel like they spoiled the Ryback thing, man, because he was really picking up steam there with the Feed Me More thing for a while. And then they turned him heel against Cena. And after that, he just fizzled right out, man.
They mistook. He fizzled out when he didn't beat
Punk, right?
Punk for the title.
He should.
They opposite Daniel Bryan him. They mistook his crowd reaction for legitimate popularity, and really the crowd. I mean, the crowd was getting behind him. I'm not saying they weren't, but really the crowd just liked going, "Feed me more, feed me more."
Yeah, he was real fun to watch there for a while when he was just the guy that came out and squashed three little guys at the same time. Remember when he picked three dudes up on his shoulders and give them all his finisher at the same time? Like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was fun to see. But, yeah, absolutely. Reverse Daniel Bryan-dom. That's, that's totally a thing. this is about the point where things start getting a little crazy in the Royal Rumble. Batista comes out number 28, which, by the way, was my number. So I marked hard when Batista came out just because I knew that meant that I was going to win the pot.
Yeah, Danny had just won $25.
The crowd, on the other hand, was already giving Batista a negative reaction when he came out. It wasn't a big pop. It certainly wasn't a big pop. And I think it's because everybody knew he was going to win. And nobody wanted him to win.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I remember him getting a positive reaction when he came out. I mean, he got a positive reaction for his return on Raw.
He did. Sure.
He got a big reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. On Raw, he did, absolutely.
And I thought they were happy when he came out for that,
They were
too.
Happy when he came out. They didn't get unhappy until number 30.
Oh, man.
It started happening, I think, with 29, where the
And remember, as we're talking about this, everybody's hoping Daniel Bryan shows up in this Rumble. And everybody's hoping he wins this Rumble. And now it's really, really late in the Rumble. So you start going, well, when he shows up, he's got a pretty good shot because it's so late, and the crowd was getting behind the idea, and there's only two guys left, and who remembers Big E Langston and Rey Mysterio? You don't. So you look in the ring and go, everybody important has already come out. One of these guys has to be Daniel Bryan. And then they send the two least interesting guys they can send out there. And when Rey came out, and I think usually people are really happy to see Rey, so I think they were expecting, Rey will get a big pop
for
30 because anybody will be happy to see him. And then Rey came out, and not that he was Rey, it's just that he wasn't Daniel Bryan. Everybody turned.
Yeah, like I'm not even a big Rey fan, never have been. I kind of felt bad for Rey when he came out. Because the timer goes off, everybody's chanting yes instead of counting down at this point. So he's doing the 5-4, and they're going, yes. Number 30, Rey Mysterio's music hits. He comes busting out, boo! Yeah. Like the loudest boo. And he just looks shocked. He's like, I don't get it. What did I do wrong, you know? And then the funny thing about it is it was like from this point on, it was nonstop, continuous booing.
Yeah, the crowd was anarchy, and there was no high spots left because the guys in the ring kept trying to do fun stuff to pop the crowd. The crowd hated every one of them.
They were done. The crowd just gave up on the Rumble.
The crowd booed when the crowd booed every spear. They booed when the Shield guy,
Roman Reigns,
when he charged for the spear but got speared because Batista does the spear too. Uh-huh. They didn't want to see any of it. And they've been behind. They were behind Batista. They're getting behind Roman Reigns. I mean, I know, they love Rey Mysterio. Mm-hmm. People love Rey Mysterio. Always have, always will. But they didn't want to see him that night.
Dude, they booed the 619. They booed everything.
Everything.
And it was right about this point, too, because, this came down to the final four. It was, who was final four again? It was Batista, CM Punk, Roman Reigns... And was it Rey Mysterio? Or was it...
Ambrose and Rollins went out at the same time.
Yeah, right.
The final five.
They kind of teased that because Reigns eliminated Ambrose and Rollins at the same time after Ambrose attempted to eliminate Reigns.
Reigns, Sheamus, Punk, and Batista.
That's right. Sheamus was in there. So Kane comes back and eliminates Punk, which was kind of spoiled for us. Because if you remember when the camera panned over...
JBL,
we saw Kane just land down there by the announce table, and he had been eliminated a long time ago.
A long time.
So we knew that he was waiting there for his spot to eliminate Punk. So that was ruined, and that was kind of a bummer. He jumps up, he eliminates Punk, which brings it down to Sheamus and Reigns and Batista. And then we get down to just Reigns and Batista, and this is the point where the crowd stops booing Reigns and starts cheering Reigns because now they just didn't want to. They just wanted Batista not to win.
Right.
They got behind Reigns because they just wanted Batista to lose.
Well, I think they just wanted anarchy.
Yeah.
Like, we're not getting what we want, so we hate whatever you're going to give us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, dude, oh my gosh. So Batista gets.
Which, before we get too far, how about Reigns? Way to go, Reigns.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
He set a
record.
He did. He broke Kane's record by one. So he's now I think that probably means, if they gave him a record to break, that means something.
Yeah, absolutely.
They
got faith in it.
They've
got
hopes.
They're hopeful for him. Yeah, he eliminated 12 guys, wasn't it?
Yeah. And
over a third of the Rumble, he eliminated by himself.
Yep.
He feels like a superstar already. Yeah. Like, when the Shield first debuted.
All the Shield guys do.
They
do. For sure.
They're
all
awesome.
Those guys are
all,
but they are obviously...
At the beginning of the Shield,
getting behind Reigns,
he was my least favorite guy. And I really liked watching Ambrose, and I was just like, well, Reigns is just the big guy that they threw in there because Vince likes big guys, whatever. And he also did very little talking and everything back then. But man, over this past year or so, he is really just he just shines. He really shines bright in that group recently.
Well, they managed to do something with him because when they first came out, I didn't like Reigns.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you know, I've loved Ambrose since he was John Moxley. And if you're listening and you haven't YouTubed John Moxley promos, do it because it'll brighten your day.
In a weird dark way.
In a weird dark way. It'll darken your. It'll weird darken your
He's
day.
He's so great.
But it's you'll see Dean Ambrose in a whole new light.
Yeah.
So I love Dean Ambrose, and I was super excited for him. And I mean, Seth Rollins, cool, whatever. You know,
I've met that guy a couple times.
Yeah,
he's from our area actually, because
right.
he used to be work up north.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
So, yeah,
I didn't even know that.
Yep, and it's cool, you know. But yeah, Reigns was obviously this big guy that was related to The Rock that Vince liked because he was a big guy, and yep. they looked right away like they were gonna make him the breakout guy.
Yeah.
Because he was the one that came down by himself. And then they switched. And all of a sudden, he was in the tag team, and Dean Ambrose was...
Got the title. He got the U.S. championship.
He was the voice of the Shield, and he got the U.S. championship. And they let... I think probably that helped Reigns because he could find his footing on his own.
Right.
You know, right. And he didn't have to... I mean, ultimately, I still think he's the least talented... Not the least talented, the least... He just wasn't ready at that point.
Right, right. You know? I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
And he was able to get his footing a little better, and now he's ready, and now they're getting behind him.
It's amazing watching them, because he's totally doing almost kind of the same thing, where he's, like, just building up this following. And, like, the Shield already is, like, they're a face-heel team.
Yeah.
Because they're the heels, they're the bad guys, the crowd knows they're the bad guys, they accept that they're the bad guys, but they love seeing the Shield.
Yep.
And when the Shield comes out, they like it. And let's be honest, they're having great matches. They've got good storylines. I mean, they all perform really well. But man, it's getting to the point now where when Reigns is in the ring, the crowd's behind him. When he hits that spear, they pop hard. You know, like they want to see him spear people now.
Yeah.
Like he's at that point. And so every time in the Rumble, when he hits somebody, it was exciting. And you know, it's just, man, you can tell. You can tell that there's something there.
Yeah, right.
You can tell.
For sure.
So that's exciting.
Yes.
That's exciting. That's going to be great to see.
That's one of the things I always love about the Rumble, too, is that you get, and they don't always turn into anything, but you do kind of get a sense of who they have faith in to kind of be up and coming. You know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean they're going to turn around and give him like a giant Mania match. He's not going to be the next best, you know, big thing by the end of the year. There's nothing like that. It's just you can watch and kind of tell who they have a little bit of faith in. You know, when you get down to those final four or five guys, especially, and somebody you're not used to seeing is left, you know, it's like, all right, well, that's somebody to watch out for then, at least.
Right, right, absolutely.
My favorite thing about the Rumble is you get to see guys fight guys that you don't usually see.
That's always fun, too.
Yeah. Like you get to, in the Royal Rumble, you get to see Stone Cold fight Farouk. You're never going to see that on Raw. You know?
So, Big Show, or not Big Show, what? Batista, of
same
course.
Same
guy, right? Batista wins, as predicted. Batista wins. And this was, gosh, this was amazing. So, that crowd is just irate. They're mad. They gave up a long time ago. Yeah. There's no Daniel Bryan.
Well, and that's what I felt sorry for. I felt a little bit sorry for Big Dave, because I don't think he understood what was happening.
No, that's what I'm saying. He didn't look like he understood.
He was
like,
mad.
He won the Rumble, and he's excited, and he's posing,
yeah.
And the crowd's just like,
everybody hates him, and
they're chanting,
and he's mad.
They start chanting Daniel Bryan's name, and they're just
booing who Batista's probably never heard of.
Yeah, right? Oh.
Who is that?
My name, Batista.
Yeah.
Why no cheer me? So he's getting mad. And you could just see him getting mad because he gets to the point where he stops celebrating and he starts mouthing things like, well, I'm going to WrestleMania. You deal with it. You know, he's saying stuff like that. And he's getting
I'll stop guarding your galaxy.
Well, and then I read online that the cameras didn't catch it. But as he's walking up the aisle, people are just, you know, tearing him apart, and so he loses his crap and he starts flipping people off and yelling at them, and he gets up on the entryway and starts mocking Daniel Bryan with, you know, purposely, which gets the crowd really, you know, all riled up.
Heel, like, Batista.
He totally just turned heel on
awesome.
Everybody, you know, and oh my gosh, dude, it's just, it's amazing. I gotta say, though, I mean, that I feel like that made for an incredibly entertaining Royal Rumble. Like, it was chaos. It's just not something you really see at the Rumble.
It was so predictable as far as like the way the events played out, but so well, I guess for as far as the events that happened, but so unpredictable as far as the way they played out.
It's just,
you know, because you saw everything coming a mile away except for the crowd. Right. You did not see that coming at all.
It's just, it's amazing.
It's so much fun when crowds
back,
do that.
It goes, well, yeah, and it goes back to what we were saying about Daniel Bryan earlier. He decided that he was going to be a superstar, and he made himself a superstar. And it's at that point now, because now the crowd, they're like rejecting everything the WWE is giving them that's not what
well,
they
wasn't
want.
Wasn't it you who read the tweet from Daniel Bryan, like, right afterwards,
yeah.
talking about how, you know, hey, they can't ignore us forever, keep up the noise or
exactly.
whatever?
Exactly, yeah. Like, he tweeted right after Royal Rumble, and that was just like, they can't hold us back forever.
Yeah,
you know,
now,
hashtag
is that stuff sanctioned, or is that stuff you get in trouble for, or I don't understand Twitter.
I think it's sanctioned because I think it's all
part of the work.
Part of the work.
Exactly. And, well, yeah, they do have to be careful with what they say, because those guys have gotten in trouble for saying things they shouldn't be saying on Twitter before.
Right.
And when you see him say things like that, it does kind of make you go, maybe the WWE knows what they're doing here. And this has been their plan the whole time. I don't know how much I believe that. I want to believe that sometimes, and then some things happen, and I'm just like, man, they have no idea what's going on. You know, it's so back and forth with me.
Well, here's the thing. They know that this is, I believe, and I've after watching Raw and contemplating the Rumble, I've come to believe that they know. I mean, this is part of their plan. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. They don't get it. Okay, I'm getting confused here. They knew that the crowd would be unhappy at keeping Daniel Bryan out of the Rumble. That was their plan. This has been since the beginning. I mean, he was on the first NXT he was on. He lost every match, and he was one of the first ones eliminated, and then they brought him back as part of
They fired him.
Yeah, they brought him back as part of Nexus.
Yeah.
But
then they
fired him
immediately. The first beatdown thing, they fired him.
Yeah,
man,
right?
How cool is that?
But then he came back, and you know, John Cena brought him back at Royal Rumble. I mean, I believe that his entire career and him being held back now and everything is part of the work, and it's been part of the plan. I mean, they've made him heel and had to change him face.
It's what makes him popular.
Right. You know, and
really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has a huge impact on his popularity, the fact that they're doing all of this holding him back.
Yes. However, it was not part of their plan, and they had no idea. I believe they had no idea that keeping him out of the Rumble would ruin Big Dave's win.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that they thought that Big Dave would still get cheered.
Yeah, they,
I think
they thought the crowd would separate the two things.
Yes.
And they did not.
Yeah.
There were a lot of reports saying that Raw was completely rewritten after Rumble, that Vince went in there and was just like, we got to redo it all.
In fairness, though, that probably happens once a month.
That's a week. What are you talking about?
You hear that kind of stuff a lot. Oh, you know, Raw had to be completely rewritten. They were doing rewrites all the way up until
the time of era. You never know, like dirt sheets and all that stuff. You never know what's actually legit news and everything. But
and after watching Raw, I don't believe for an instant that they rewrote Raw.
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
there weren't any. Yeah, because I heard that same thing before Raw, and then I was expecting something big, and then I watched. And I'm like, I mean, that had some big revelations, I guess, but nothing shocking, nothing out of the ordinary.
I think maybe they rewrote Elimination Chamber, and maybe they rewrote parts of WrestleMania, but I don't think that, I mean, I still stand by thinking that their plan has been to alienate and hold down Daniel Bryan, and
I did really like
that
opening
wave.
Promo, though, and the way we were talking about a little bit earlier, because the opening promo overall was Stephen H. coming out. And
heel this week, by the way.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're face, sometimes they're heel, whatever.
Well, they do this, but they do the back and forth thing, because they're like, hey, we love Randy Orton, except Randy will kill you if you mess up.
Yeah.
And hey, we love Big Dave, too, and everybody loves Big Dave. We just like the fans, you know?
Well, they have to keep that relationship with Randy Orton kind of rocky, because you never know when Orton will legitimately get his third strike and be fired. They'll have to explain that somehow.
I forgot about that.
But they came out and they did the thing where they, you know, they kind of mocked the Daniel Bryan thing a little bit, and then Daniel Bryan came out and they had the crowd reaction going on, and so Daniel Bryan, they had that great moment where Daniel Bryan was kind of talking about like the support he's getting, and he got the crowd kind of riled up, but half of them were chanting Daniel Bryan and half of them were kind of doing the yes, and it was all mixed up, and Stephanie's the one who grabbed the mic and is like, well, I don't really know what they're saying, Daniel. I can't tell what they're cheering for at all. They all just seem kind of messed up. And that immediately focused the crowd. You know, the crowd was like, hey, guys, we got to do this. And then they all got in unison finally.
That was so weird, dude. They were all chanting for Daniel Bryan, but they were saying different things. So it sounded just like noise.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, come on, guys. Don't you have enough practice with us by now? Like, what's going on here? But hey, how much of an ass was Triple H though? When like they're out there trying to cut their promo before Bryan came out, and the crowd was like yesing him or whatever, and he just goes, "Aw, did somebody not get what they wanted?" I was like, "Oh my god, dude, that's legit. Like that's Paul Levesque right there, like just being a jerk because he's, you
know, like because he can and it's funny.
Yeah." Oh, man. So, yeah, so they basically they're still doing the same thing, too, you know? There was really nothing that came out of that promo, I don't feel like. Like, it was the same old thing. Daniel Bryan came out there, hey, listen to the crowd, listen to them, listen to them. You hear them? Listen to them. Oh, okay, that's all fine, here's the Shield.
Well, and it was...
you know, like...
It was also a little more, though, directly approaching that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, before Daniel Bryan has always said, I work hard, I'll take any shot, I'll make it work for me, and they're, oh, well, Bryan, you're not an A-list player. That was kind of the first time where Daniel Bryan was like, listen to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, listen to the crowd, and where they were kind of like, eh, we don't care what the crowd said. You know, so it's kind of like the first...
It brought it to the forefront.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did think it was kind of intense there, though, too, when, like, because Bryan got in Triple H's face, and you're like, oh, man, it's actually about to go down right now. And then the Shield came out, and then, like, you know, when the camera goes to the crowd to see the Shield coming in and cuts back to the ring, and H and Steph are just magically gone now. And you're just like, oh, I guess that's the end of that.
Yeah.
And then they set up the whole...
Bryan ran out and grabbed that chair and got back into the ring. Like, yeah. Bring it.
And then Sheamus and Cena came running out, and I was half expecting the crowd to get mad, but they didn't. No, they were behind Sheamus and Cena.
Yeah.
And they basically set up a six-man tag match for the main event. Where it was announced that the winning team, those three members on the winning team, would automatically be put into the Elimination Chamber match, which they did announce was for Randy Orton's title. Yeah. So this year, well, I guess they kind of always do that with the Elimination Chamber, don't they? But they either do, like, since they've had, like, SmackDown and Raw the past couple years, like...
Well, one is always for the championship, and one is always for the other title shot at Mania.
Yeah, right? So they can't do that. Now we've only got the one, which I like. I prefer that. Yeah. I still don't like the placement of Elimination Chamber after the Rumble.
Yeah, it should be.
There shouldn't be anything between Rumble and
WrestleMania. Or if they're, I mean, they could do a Backlash style where there's nothing much like big going on, but there shouldn't be a big gimmicky one in between. Because Elimination Chamber could be a big deal anywhere else in the year. As it is, it's just blocks the main.
I just don't like Elimination Chamber fans.
So yeah, I just don't like the prize for winning the Rumble is a number one contendership, and then a month later they give five guys number one contendership all at once.
Yeah. Well, but they can't, and that's my point. Like, they don't have to completely cut out pay-per-views. There can still be title shots between Royal Rumble and Mania.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to just go like a whole two and a half month dry spell, but I don't know why it has to be five guys in a death machine that you have to defend your title against. You know? It's like, I'd rather drop the title right before Rumble and try to win the Rumble.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like the guy, winning the Rumble, it's like almost better odds than having to go defend your title against five other guys right before WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's crazy. I've never really liked that. But, So what was there anything else really noteworthy on Raw though that happened after? I'm trying to think.
They announced Jake the Battle of Cleveland. The Battle of Cleveland.
Yes.
the commentary was what got me that whole match. Loved it because I guess Lawler was when he was very young lived in Cleveland for a while. So he was half defending it.
Yeah.
And JBL was just tearing Cleveland apart the whole time.
Well,
he said, one of them goes, does the winner get to be king of Cleveland, or how does that work? And JBL goes, the winner gets to leave Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then later on in the show, for whatever reason, the crowd just started chanting for JBL. So he got up and, like, did a big wave and kind of, like, you know, hammed it up a little bit and sat back down. And he's like, I take everything back. I love Cleveland. This place is great.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. I know, like, they always do that hometown thing, which is fine with some of those guys when they're in a hometown where they've got prominent guys from, I guess. But I just... those guys came out. It was fine. Neither one of them got like a gigantic reaction or anything like I was expecting, you know.
Which was kind of funny.
I was like, oh, they're hometown guys. They're both gonna get huge reactions. No, they're just getting normal.
Well, aren't they both kind of tween guys too, though?
Ziggler's not. He's face right
Ziggler,
now.
Yeah, Ziggler's full steam face.
Is he?
Yeah.
I wouldn't call The Miz a tween. He's just, he flops back and forth.
He's whatever they need him to be that
week.
Yeah,
I can't remember what he is now.
Dude, they well,
that
just...
was how I, that's how I would define a tween.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Dude, he's just back and forth every week, dude. Yeah. Whatever they need him for, they just, go do this tonight. So, I don't know.
So, they did that bit with Lesnar throwing the chairs around again because Paul Heyman came out and demanded he got...
That's right.
Did he demand he got a title shot?
That night. Paul Heyman came out and said, you've got two options. Number one, you let Brock Lesnar fight Randy Orton for the title tonight. Or number two, you let him fight Big Dave tonight. Make it happen. And or else, he said, or else.
Yeah.
And then
the or else was or death else to was, the Rhodes.
Yeah, his or else was to attack the Rhodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the Rhodes got their rematch against the New Age Outlaws.
Which was not good.
Which was really slow, and it felt like it was taking forever for anything to happen. Almost like they were anticipating...
Well,
Lesnar to come out sooner than that
okay,
or something?
Time out. They did just do a really good match the night before,
yeah.
24 hours before, and three of those four guys are 100. So I'm sure
well,
they were all
fair.
Tired.
Goldust's been working awesome. You can't blame
him. That doesn't make him young.
Okay, that's
you
true.
You know, yeah.
That's true.
He works awesome once a week. So, that's fine.
So I guess we're just supposed to assume, I guess, that Lesnar was told no to both of his demands, because he just shows up during this match and starts wailing on Goldust.
I think it was
Rhodes.
Less that he was told no and more that he hadn't gotten an answer, so he was just like, I'll go eat something.
I'll go beat things up with chairs again.
Yeah. He chose the Rhodes.
I'll go chew on some metal somewhere.
Makes sense.
So he did that. Yep, take that. Oh, I don't get a title shot? Take that, Cody Rhodes and Goldust. That'll send a message.
That'll show him.
You watching Authority? Oh, you're not? Okay, we'll try again next week, I guess.
Yeah, you brought it up a minute ago. Hall of Fame induction, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Which is funny, because every time I see a promo package for Jake like that, I immediately forget how disappointed I am in that man's existence.
Well, they're just trying to capitalize on his whole clean thing right now.
Yeah.
He's going to fall off the wagon in a couple
and
weeks.
And you know what's funny? Yes.
He's been clean before.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not fair to say. Great for Jake. I hope
he makes it. Yeah.
But traditionally...
Yeah. I hope DDP is the old wrestler whisperer.
Savior. Yeah, the old wrestler whisperer.
And I hope this works out fine. But, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me six or seven times now, and shame on me.
Traditionally, these guys, they're just a train wreck their whole lives. They get clean. And the WWF tries to do something with them, at which point they have money again, and
they
go out
to buy blow.
Yeah, go buy drugs and fall off the wagon.
I hope that doesn't happen for him, though, because I just...
Or...
Yeah,
I love the success, the DDP
yoga
stuff.
Don't get us wrong. We all hope that.
Yep.
Yeah. We're not saying anything against guys trying to get clean.
Nope.
You know, all the best to them. I'm just not going to assume it's going to stay that way until I see more than 2 weeks' worth.
Yeah.
And that's the disappointing part, is because I really feel... All respect to what the Warrior did for a few years there 20 years ago. I think Jake should be the big one.
Headliner?
This year,
yeah.
And it just so happens that he happens to be clean a year. They've already got another guy they consider bigger, you know. So he's got to kind of play second fiddle.
Warrior. I don't know. That's a debate in itself, right? Whether and I mean, like, look.
You could do a whole podcast.
I'll come on.
And again, let me try to... make sure my point is clear. I'm not agreeing with that per se, but I get that the Warrior was a big deal for what he was. I mean, like, he was never a particularly talented guy, and he's never made a darn lick of sense in anything he's ever said. ever. But when we were all kids, he was a big deal, and he was a big draw for a few years there. And he's one of those fringe guys that people who don't like wrestling still remember liking.
They know
the
who
Warrior.
The Ultimate Warrior yeah, is. That's know. The thing. The guys who don't really follow wrestling and just remember wrestling from when they were kids, they know who the Ultimate Warrior is. Like,
and
they
still
Hulk
like
Hogan
him
is.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, and they have fond memories
and that
of him.
And in and of
so.
Itself makes it a good business decision. And that's what makes me upset about it.
Jaren's not happy about it, though, either.
Yeah, nobody's happy about
it. Some guys don't deserve their legacy.
No, yeah, for sure. For sure. That's not the argument.
I know, and I'm not, and I'm not arguing with you. I'm just making my opinion known.
So I guess the only other thing, I mean, you know, there was a Divas match. That happens. It looks like they're pushing Trinity, aren't they? They're like,
stop wasting more airtime on Divas.
I'm sorry,
okay?
She keeps pinning
the
AJ.
WWE does that enough every week. We don't need to do it on
look,
our show.
She got the spin on the Diva wheel. It's her turn to get a couple title matches against AJ. That's the way it works in the Divas division.
I'm not saying she's not going to get a couple title matches against AJ. I'm just saying you can't exactly consider that a push.
Hey, should we talk about the end of the show before we're done, because was anybody
Divas
else?
Divas are a train wreck every single week.
It just, just about.
Hasn't it been that way for 20 years?
No, there's been times.
There's been periods where there was quality stuff, but not long prominent periods.
No, never.
Yeah.
Gosh.
The very end of the show, though, when they did that six man and all three guys of the winning team get in, and by my understanding, they never really like came out and officially said, but that match ended with the Wyatts coming out again and wreaking havoc. But
it
when
did.
They wreak havoc, they attacked Cena and his crew, thereby giving those guys the win by disqualification.
Yes.
And in theory, all three of them get entered into
they
the
do.
Elimination
and
chamber.
They showed, say that.
They
did
said
say
it,
that.
And they showed the graphic.
Yeah,
oh, did they?
They
okay.
said qualified
okay, so they
for
did,
elimination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that going to stand? Is that are they going to have to do
yes.
a rematch?
I,
or?
I think it's going to stand, but it was interesting
because
like
because the like, Shield was going bananas.
Well, and that's actually exciting to me because this is the first time we finally had an interaction that's going to cause the Shield and the Wyatts to be at odds with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that six man
also in theory
before the Shield breaks up or whatever. Like now they've got like if they need something for these guys to do Elimination Chamber, whatever, put them in a match against each other.
And
I want to see that.
And also the Shield is the Golden Boy Warriors of the Authority or whatever.
Yeah,
and they're kind of getting screwed over by this ruling. Is that going to lead to?
I don't know. I'm curious to see where it's all going to go for sure.
My call is that Roman Reigns will be in that elimination.
You think
chamber.
He's going to make it into the chamber?
He'll make it in there, and the other two won't, and that'll be the final straw.
Mm.
Yeah,
that'd be cool though. I was trying to think about that last night while we were watching Raw, if like who the six men would be, and so now we for sure have Daniel Bryan, John Cena, Sheamus, and Randy Orton. So we got two more guys that need to be put
in. Are they
going to
throw Lesnar in there? Or?
Probably.
Lesnar will probably get thrown in there. And so then it would just be the sixth guy. Do you think they'll do anything with Punk qualifying? Or, like, I wonder, how are they going to name the next guy?
I think.
Are they going to do qualifying matches on Raw again?
Oh, maybe we'll get a beat the challenge. Or a beat the clock challenge.
Beat the clock challenges? Yeah.
No, I think Punk will get left out. We'll probably see Punk versus Kane at Elimination Chamber.
To build towards Punk versus H at Mania.
I think we're going to get Brian versus Punk.
You think so?
Brian versus H.
Brian versus H?
I think we're going to get Brian
versus
H.
That could be.
I also thought maybe they would try and pull, and this is kind of a long shot, it's just something I thought of, because they kind of sowed the seeds of it earlier this year. But we could see like a Brian and Punk versus DX at Mania.
Interesting.
I mean, that could be cool.
H and Shawn?
Yeah.
DX?
Yeah. H and Shawn. Because DX reunited would be another big name.
And remember, this is 30.
Right.
This is 30, and there's been rumors. They already were rumoring for a long time that Shawn was going to come out of retirement to fight Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And that'd be a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
I'd be behind that.
Now, traditionally, how many weeks are we away from when The Undertaker shows up and calls somebody
out? It's got to be soon. It's got to be soon.
Because it's before
right?
Elimination Chamber, by a ways, isn't it usually?
Not always.
Not always?
I think last year.
I half expected to see a Taker promo last night, or not promo, but
Bong.
A video package or something.
Yeah.
Not to officially announce who he's calling out, but just to kind of remind everybody that he's coming.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I thought we were gonna...
I think we probably won't see. I think we'll probably see Taker the night after
Elimination Chamber.
You think?
Yeah.
So just a few weeks there.
Well, I mean, even the last one, the Hell in the Cell with H, they only built for about 4 months or 4 weeks.
Four months.
I guess you really don't need a lot of build. It's the Taker match. It's everybody's most anticipated on the card half the time. Right. So
it has been the past several years.
He could probably announce it the week before, and they could announce it at Access, and it would be one of the biggest matches on the card.
So do we think he's going for Lesnar, or
no?
Have you thought of anything else that...
I can't imagine he's going to get in there with Lesnar.
There's been a
Lesnar's too big, stupid, and crazy, and Undertaker's too old and smart.
There's been a lot
of rumors
and speculation that Sting has come to an agreement with WWE. There's been a lot of reports that he's actually come to an agreement with WWE now, and they've just all but actually made an official announcement. Do we think that he would show up this year to wrestle Taker, or do you think Sting will be like Hall of Fame next year or something?
I think we could see both.
Yeah.
I think they would at least want to get Sting one match in WWE before they put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Not that they're above putting him in the Hall of the Fame without it.
Right.
But I think we would see that first. I'd see something. I don't think they'll just be like, oh, Sting's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, I think they'd want to make sure and remind people.
Remind people who he is.
He's not the TNA guy.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Not the TNA guy.
There's got to be some distinction there.
Well, and there's been long talks about how Sting versus Undertaker is kind of one of those last dream matches that's never happened. And Sting has never wrestled in a WWE ring. He's never been on a WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. He's like the last guy that they didn't get. They never got, you know, so... I could definitely see it happening at some point.
At least the last guy they could have ever wanted that they didn't get.
Yeah, well, yeah, that, you know, he's the last big WCW name that they never brought over.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, and I could see that, I could see it going that way too because, I mean, you know, the same way people who don't know, people know Warrior still who aren't wrestling fans.
Right.
They remember Warrior. People who don't know what WCW is and have never heard of the NWA know who Sting is.
Right. People know Sting. Right. Absolutely. He's another one of those names. He's a household name.
Yeah, for sure.
So that could be cool. I haven't watched Sting a lot. I don't really watch a lot of TNA. So I am a little worried about if he could go with Undertaker at Mania.
Yeah.
Could he?
Yeah. Sting's one of those guys who,
okay.
He's in that same...
The only problem with Sting is...
He's cut from that same cloth.
I'm sure he's... I don't know what it'll look like when he wears a t-shirt in the ring on Mania.
Yeah, because he does that, doesn't he? He's been wearing a t-shirt lately when he wrestles, because he's not in the shape he used to be.
Right.
However, I would count Sting as a guy... I mean, they're not gonna call him 2 weeks ahead of time and tell him, hey, come out and wrestle Taker. If he's wrestling Taker at Mania, he already knows and is hopefully prepping for it.
Right. And I'm sure he would.
That could be, if that happens, that could be some fun, like, TV build-up, too, for that match.
Oh, for sure. However, I will say, if that happens, I bet they give it more than 3 weeks of build.
The mind game? Nah, they won't need to, I don't think.
No.
You don't think they'd want to just give him a little bit of TV time and a little bit of exposure? A
couple weeks of mind games and video packages and stuff like that and just get people real hyped to see it. And then, even if they build it that way and we don't actually see them until they come out for that match... That could be pretty exciting
stuff. We never actually see either of them.
Well,
they could build that match entirely on video packaging alone. No joke.
They could.
Neither one of those guys would have to show up. I assume they would both show up for the announcement.
Yeah.
And we'd get, you know, a Bong and The Undertaker would come out. And who's he going to face at Mania? And, you know, then Sting comes out, you know,
the lights go out.
And there's lightning and he drops from the ceiling and his old face paint. I think
he dropped from the ceiling?
For sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They've done stuff like that since.
No, they haven't.
I think they would for Sting. Haven't they done any zip lines?
Because Sting did it. Sting did it after Owen.
Did he?
Sting has done it. I would.
I'm positive you're right about that, because I think that's what I was thinking of
before,
but I was like, well, I guess maybe that wasn't WWE, but still, Sting has done it.
Yeah.
It would be cool. I think it'd be really neat, as long as everything's safe and secure.
Yeah. Well, Sting always wore the trench coat, so he'd drop, and I mean, it looked like he had a flak jacket on. He wasn't going anywhere. He'd have bounced if he did fall, but... I mean, he was good. And it'd be safe, and it wouldn't hurt anything. And he'd drop in with the bat and the white face paint and the trench coat, and he'd be standing in the ring opposite.
They wouldn't even have to talk, dude. They would just stare down, and the crowd would go nuts, we'd know what was coming.
And Sting would point at WrestleMania 30 with the bat,
and there'd be
30 seconds where the crowd forgot about Daniel Bryan.
right.
Or they would just yes that.
Yeah, they probably would. Yes. They probably would.
Right. And it'd be awesome. And then they'd show video packages, and then those guys would show up at Mania and wrestle, and people would lose their mind.
I'm actually kind of excited for that. I hope that happens. That's something I would really like to see. I love The Undertaker. He's one of my favorite parts of Mania every year. It's going to be sad when he doesn't do it anymore. He's been awesome. Cool. Well, do we have any other predictions that we want to talk about going forward? Or we kind of covered everything, I think. All the big stuff. It was a crazy rumble.
Yeah, you have a lot of spam mail.
I do indeed. We're looking at, I never empty it.
Wow. So it's just,
in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, sorry.
Lots of spam emails.
If you guys have any extra spam, forward it to Pixel Dan.
Great. Yeah, thanks. That's good. I need extras. So there we go. There's a little bit of wrestling discussion on the Geek Easy, which is always fun because I love talking about wrestling. Mm-hmm. And this is what we do every day of the week, I think. We always have at least one conversation about this.
Somebody says something.
Yep.
Every day. Awesome.
Yeah, and if you get anybody listening and hated this episode, then you better stop hating this kind of stuff pretty soon, because Mania is coming up. We're going to be talking wrestling for a couple months.
It's going to happen. Yeah. This is the season for it. This is, you know, the road to WrestleMania is an exciting time for wrestling fans.
I love first quarters of the year. The road to WrestleMania, the road to the Oscars, so much stuff is happening all around, all the stuff I love. Oh, it's great.
We'll definitely be talking about more of this. So if wrestling's not your thing, I apologize.
We're wrestling. It's fine.
Well, yeah, this is my podcast, and the whole point of this podcast is that I'm going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. So wrestling will be brought up a lot in these next few months. And I'm very much looking forward to WrestleMania. I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited. And WrestleMania will be the first pay-per-view on the WWE Network.
Yep.
Which means every one of us will have access to it, which means we all have to discuss whose house we're watching it
this
year.
I will have a brand new baby, I think, or be very close to a brand
That's
new
true.
Baby. So
That's
not
true.
That. Well, wait, it's in April, so I'll have one.
So you so definitely
probably
will.
Not our house, maybe, but probably, maybe it has to be our house. I don't know how this
WrestleMania
works.
WrestleMania 30 is at my house.
All right,
WrestleMania 30.
There we go.
House.
Jaren is having WrestleMania 30,
and all the Pixel Dan fans are invited.
All right, everybody, come to Jaren's house. Look, we do this thing every year.
See how I got myself over at the end.
You did.
I like it.
Put
I
yourself
like it.
Over.
Now, whose address do we give them?
Look, we do.
Crime Fighters?
Oh. Yeah. Right.
Craig
we do this. Fighter? We have this ritual every year, though, that's awesome, where we get together and we make it an all-day event, and we take turns picking past matches from WrestleManias, and we watch them.
It's going to be so much easier on the network.
It's going to be great on the network, right? We get to just skim through every WrestleMania. We can pick anything we want to, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
I still have every WrestleMania.
But also,
yeah, but you don't have to flip the discs in it.
But now, we don't have to change the discs.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we probably don't have to worry about the blurred stuff anymore because they don't blur the stuff anymore.
Good.
So we don't have to worry about that, which I'm excited.
Did the panda stop caring?
I think they just. I honestly think the whole thing was that Vince just was so mad about that whole thing. He's like, "We'll just blur everything," and I don't think they actually had to blur the old logo. They just did because Vince said to.
That means we might actually be able to watch stuff from WrestleMania 2000, because with all the pixelation and the blurring, that WrestleMania is unwatchable.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just that bad?
Yeah.
Also, wasn't that Mania
in
just
general
unwatchable?
Were unwatchable?
I was that was, for that one.
That was the one with the four... The
yeah, the four corners.
The four corners
McMahons.
Thing with the four McMahons.
But that also had the first tables.
Threat. Oh,
tables
yeah.
It did have the triple threat, Jericho... Benoit and Angle, which was good.
Yep. Yeah.
But
and the TLC.
It wasn't the TLC.
It was just a tables match first.
It was a tables
match.
No, it was a ladder match.
Ladder
match. And they just went nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. The precursor to the TLC.
Yes.
That's kind of where it came from, I think.
Yep.
Cool. All right, well, I think that is a good stopping point for today. So, is there anything you would like to plug, Mr. Jonathan? Let the fans know where to find you.
No, yeah, keep talking to me on at JLeonard31 and on Twitter, and the more you guys talk, the more I'll start trying to figure out what Twitter is.
You use Twitter.
Oh, and a big thank you to Simon Pegg for
putting up with us
the other night.
We were tweeting everything to Simon Pegg.
Yeah. We were watching The World's End, and so he just got caught up in the conversation.
He didn't acknowledge us.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, why are we apologizing to him? I'm mad. Yeah, he didn't acknowledge us.
He should apologize to us.
Right.
Doesn't he know
where
who
were
we
you, Pegg? Where were you?
Do you have anything you wanted to plug, Jaren? Do you want to plug your Twitter or anything? Your house address so people know where to come watch wrestling.
My house address. Yeah. Better. Well, you can just put that in the comments, right?
Okay, I'll just do that. And as always, guys, you can find everything that I'm doing at pixel-dan.com, all the video reviews, news updates, as well as the Geek Easy podcast. And we are also on iTunes, so please hit that subscribe button. And if you want to rate us and review us, it'll help spread the word on the show. We would very much appreciate it. And you can find me on Twitter at pixeldan, so feel free to chat with me there or post comments on the website, and I will definitely chat back with you guys. So that's going to wrap up this installment of the Geek Easy podcast. So until next time, I'm Pixel Dan.
And I'm Jonathan Leonard.
And I'm Jaren.
That's right. That's Jaren. We'll see you guys next time right here in the Geek Easy.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.